Okay, Amanda, you ready?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Good afternoon, everybody. I would like to call to order the July 6, 2022 Citizen Advisory Committee meeting. Staff, please call the roll so that we can establish a quorum.
At this time, I am only asking those CAC members attending in person to respond by saying here when I call your name. I want to remind you to unmute your microphones by pushing the button at the base prior to responding. Ryan Rossi. Michael Fitzpatrick. James Garvin.
Here.
Mark Bruner is absent. Ramona Bean is absent. Paula Ryan.
Here.
Jim Knight.
Here.
James Bonfiglio is online and I will mark his attendance momentarily. Richard Vasilotti. Marissa Doss.
Present.
Sammy Brown.
Here.
Mark Forrest is absent. Vijay Mishra should be joining us online and I will take his attendance in a moment. Paco Gill, Francisco Paco Gill is absent. Myron Uman is absent. Terry Brown should be joining us online and we will attend to that in a moment. Greg Fagan. And then the cities of Belglade, Green Acres, Jupiter, and Lake Worth Beach are all vacant and will be marked absent at this time. Albert Richwagen.
Here.
Wen Dang.
Here. Okay. Are there any modifications to the agenda?
Yes, Madam Chair. The following members are requesting CAC permission to participate remotely. Vijay Mishra is in Miami until 1:30 p.m. at another meeting and would like to join us virtually. Terry Brown did not provide a reason, but did request to join remotely. James Bonfiglio is out of town and also requested to join remotely.
Okay. Are there any objections to allowing these members to participate remotely? Okay.
And for the record, Madam Chair, I will just note that Greg Fagan has joined us in person.
Thank you. Okay. Seeing none, these members are approved to participate remotely. Can you please add them to the attendance in the minutes?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay. Are there any changes to the minutes at this time? If not, can I have a motion to adopt the minutes as presented?
So moved.
Second.
All right. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed, nay.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. Michael, do you have a comment on this last item or would you like to?
I was just getting ready for E.
Okay, thank you. Okay, for the general public comments, instruction to how to provide public comments are included in the agenda. Do we have any general comments at this time?
Not at this time, Madam Chair.
Okay, perfect. Now we're on item E. At this time, I want to invite any CAC members' comments and items that not already is on the agenda. For members participating remotely, please utilize the raise hand feature in the Zoom platform and enter the unmute on your microphone once you are recognized. I believe Ms. Ryan and Mr. Fitzpatrick is in has comments. Michael and then Paula.
I just found out that I believe Jason is going to give a report recap. I did give the presentation to the TPA June 16th about the amount of pollution cars in Palm Beach County, 5 million tons a year are producing. And it turns out I gave a report and I wrote the report and gave a presentation because I felt that if the TPA knew the amount of pollution that was being created, they might be more concerned to do something. But I was kind of under a false assumption because they apparently know as much as they want to know. And so they are fine with, you know, kicking the can down the road. Therefore, I don't really have a plan B right now. I don't know if there ever be a plan B, but that's where it stands. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. Paula Ryan.
Thank you. You brought up about Terry not being here and not knowing why. And I was wondering if we've had any update on a handicap parking space around here.
I would defer to staff for that clarification. Or if.
We did follow up with Terry Brown regarding the parking situation and provided local ordinances and information regarding it. That was sent to him on the 5th, actually, I'm sorry, so yesterday. He did not, however, in his response, specifically state when he was requesting virtual access for this meeting that he would not be joining due to parking. So we didn't want to make that assumption.
I believe that, at this point in time, it's outside of the decision of the board. He had a request. The TPA staff has a legal opinion and was presented to Terry, and he did not provide an answer back. There's no formal request to respond. So I don't know what is the next step, but I do think that the ball is back on staff for them to respond back to him.
I was just curious because we were going to, last I heard, we were going to talk to the city of West Palm Beach because they own all the parking spaces around here and see if they couldn't or wouldn't consider designating one of them as a handicap spot. They have handicap down closer to Bradley's and then over on Detoura, but nothing here. So
I did look into that. I reached out to the city months when we first moved here last year, or whenever we moved here. I looked into this issue in depth to make sure that this was going to be provided. And the city doesn't want to convert one of the parking spaces to a handicap spot. In addition, in Terry's case, anybody could use that spot, other handicap. So he really wants to have a guaranteed spot so he can definitely be close and get into the building. And we can't really guarantee a handicap parking spot, even if there was one designated or if we paid for the meter or whatever could happen. It's still a first come, first serve basis. So that's what puts us in a pickle to really guarantee a designated parking spot for him, guaranteed for the meeting. But we definitely did the due diligence. I looked into it. I reached out to the city. They told me about the free 4-hour parking with a handicap placard, but it's all first come, first serve.
Oh, okay. So you can get 3 to 4 hour parking in a
space. If you have a handicap placard on your car, like a hang tag, when you have a hang tag, you can park at any of the parking spots throughout the downtown area for a limited amount of time, like 4 hours or so, for free with that.
Okay. Great. I didn't know that. So that's great.
Thank you. So I looked into that. I got all these details. I provided that to Terry and to the rest of the CAC. And that's kind of how it came about. So we had all the information. It's just the accommodations are available, but it's a first come, first serve basis. So it's the guarantees just isn't there. And so it's tough for Terry to come down here and expect one or hope for one, but not necessarily be guaranteed one for this type of event.
Yeah, and I also want to remind everybody on this board that the TPA was so generous to provide us access into downtown, not only the parking garages, but different transit opportunities that takes, board members directly to the door, especially with the free circuit app that you can request a ride from anywhere within the downtown or within the zone, and they will deliver or drop you off right in front of the building.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Madam Chair, this is Margie with the TPA. I just wanted to clarify. We did provide information, as staff has noted, of the different mobility options for Terry. We did provide them the legal opinion that our attorneys did provide, but there's nothing further that staff is going to do. So I just wanted to clarify that there's nothing left for us to follow up on. We submitted the information to Terry. he acknowledged it, but our part in this is completed.
All right. Are there any virtual comments?
There are no virtual or public comments at this time, Madam Chair.
Okay, perfect. All right, so we're moving on to the liaison report. I would like to invite Jason for the update.
Good afternoon, everyone. So the presentation will come up shortly. First item on the list, I'd like to welcome Brian Ruscher. He's our new pedestrian and bicycle coordinator on the multimodal development team, and he'll serve as the Vision Zero Advisory Committee liaison. So this is Brian in the audience. So welcome. We're glad to welcome Brian to the TPA as our bicycle and pedestrian coordinator.
We're going to miss him in Delray, but welcome.
Next is a Jupiter Vision Zero. TPA would like to congratulate the town of Jupiter in adopting a Vision Zero resolution on June 7th. They join a number of other communities that have also followed suit and passed Vision Zero resolutions, and we congratulate them on doing that. The Port of Palm Beach, they're conducting their master plan. So they're seeking input on providing what you'd like to see at the port. And they're seeking public participation through July 7th. Today is the 6th. So just tomorrow is the end of their gathering of public participation. And then the draft will be available in August with the final draft due or expected by December 2022. And you could find more information at planportofpalmbeach.com. The League of American Bicyclists Community Sparks Grant is available, and you can apply through July 15th. And the Sparks Grant offers $1,500 that's meant to be a catalyst for empowering your community through bike-related projects that create a more bicycle-friendly community. So the deadline is July 15th, and you can find out more information at bicyclefriendly.secure-platform.com. And the link is on the liaison report as well. There's a workshop held by FDOT for local roadway safety. They're offering a virtual workshop for local agencies to learn how to better work with us, the TPA, in developing safety projects. And this is going to be a virtual meeting held on July 26, 2022 at 1 p.m. And if you'd like to register for the event, I have registered as well. Just to learn more about this, it's palmbeachtpa.org/FDOTD4workshop. And so it's meant for local agencies and FDOT to kind of collaborate and educate the local communities on how best to work with us to implement those safety projects. And we look forward to as many attendees as possible. Safe Streets for All. This is a federal grant, and there's two types. There's implementation grants and there's planning grants. And with those two grants, you can apply. The deadline is September 14th. We're looking forward to working with others and ourselves to develop projects to submit for these. And you can find more information on the Safe Streets and Roads for All program at transportation.gov/SS4A. And there will be quite a few resources because it's a large FHWA grant that they're rolling out for the first time, and they're developing a lot of resources for it. And it's a two-prong approach of doing an action plan through the planning grants and then implementing what you find in those action plans through the implementation grants. So it's kind of a twofold grant program that they're introducing for the first time. Next is Reconnecting Community Grant. So this is yet another grant, and this is a new grant program, as is the Safe Streets and Roads for All. It's now open to reconnect communities that were previously cut off from economic opportunities by transportation infrastructure. This grant has a deadline a little later on in October 13th of 2022, and you can find out more information about this Reconnecting Communities grant at transportation.gov/grants/connecting-communities. And lastly, our TPA governing board will be held on July 21st here in the TPA offices at 9 a.m. And if you'd like to participate, we offer, you can view the meeting in person virtually or attend in person here at our offices. And it's, again, it's July 1st at 9 a.m. And so now we have the more entertaining part. It's a really great video. It's a mobility options video that we created here in-house with our PR team, and it's top notch, and I hope you enjoy it. We're gonna play it now.
Palm Beach County is home to beautiful beaches, diverse culinary experiences, exciting entertainment, and more. Getting around to experience it all is easy with each of the county's mobility options, from buses to trains and everything in between. PalmTran is Palm Beach County's public transit system, with buses from Jupiter to Boca Raton and Palm Beach to the Glades. PalmTran offers 32 routes to take you across the county and on demand with the Go Glades service. Paratransit services are also available through PalmTran Connection. Tri-Rail is South Florida's commuter train connecting Palm Beach, Broward, and Miami-Dade counties. Tri-Rail offers 6 stops from Mangonia Park to Boca Raton within Palm Beach County. Trains run every day and connect all the way to Miami International Airport. For a higher speed service, check out Brightline. With stations from West Palm Beach to Fort Lauderdale and Miami, you can experience all of South Florida without the stress of traffic. Be sure to check out the first and last mile connections across the county too, including Brightline Plus and Brightbike, the West Palm Beach trolleys, and local circulators like Circuit in West Palm Beach and Freebie in Delray Beach. If you need door-to-door service, local taxi providers and on-demand services like Uber and Lyft can take you where you need to go. In addition, try walking and bicycling in our beautiful county as an active and healthy mode of transportation. Next time you're in Palm Beach County, try one of the many multimodal transportation options to get around. With so many choices, it's easy to go car-free. To learn more about all of the mobility options in Palm Beach County, head to palmbeachtpa.org/mobility.
Yeah, so that's just a great video that was created in-house. We didn't consult out. That's our PR team at work. They just raised the bar for professionalism on creating videos like that. And thank you, Melissa, for sure. And that's actually her voice, which I feel like is a national voice at this point. It sounds great.
It's awesome. Yeah, no, thank you, Melissa. That was a really great video. And she also helped design this annual report as well.
Wonderful. Thank you.
No, thank you, Melissa.
Okay. Cool. Do we have any comments at this time from committee member? No.
Well, we do on have
the liaison report. One more item.
I have a question about that video. Just what were all the people on the green vests? What event was that on the bikes?
Bike to work day. So each year we have a bike to work day where we kind of sketch out a route downtown where we usually gather as many people as possible from the TPA, usually some governing board members or advisory board members. We assemble usually at one of the railway stations and then ride to downtown. So we'll commute from one of the nearby transit stops. My first year in 2019, we rode from Mangonia Park Station all the way to downtown to West Palm Beach in the rain. So, you know, that's the realities of commuting by bicycle. So it was a good experience. I liked it. I was prepared. And then this last year, we did another one from the Tri-Rail station, or I think we did like a smaller loop, but it's just very successful. It just gets people out there visible and let people know on the streets that, you know, bicycle is a feasible option to commute to work. And so that's what that event was. The last item, we just wanted to recap as the final item, the what Michael Fitzpatrick had mentioned. He went to the governing board on June 16th, did the presentation. It was really well received, generated a lot of conversation on a lot of different topics. There was some scientists in the room on the governing board, and they were really championing the efforts of Michael Fitzpatrick, but was in the majority. There's just not enough scientists in our governing board, I guess, to really latch onto it. But overall, you know, some people really was willing to work with Mr. Fitzpatrick on developing something, but the majority decided that it was a little premature and they decided not to take any formal action, but recognize that the TPA we are actively doing stuff to move towards a cleaner future in a number of different ways, just not perhaps as fast enough for others. And there was no real actionable items that the governing board could come up with to take for formal action. And so that's kind of where it rested with us working with Michael, or maybe getting some governing board members, if they're willing, to participate and maybe generate some more interest and maybe reconvene and come back with it if we desire to do that. And so that's really a recap of what had happened for the presentation at the TPA governing board. And it was well received, though. I mean, they really understood what was happening and what the initiative was, what the crux of the discussion was. It was just coming up with a really solid action, I felt like. And that's all I have for the liaison report.
Okay. Jim, do you have a comment on the liaison report?
Yeah, I just want to comment. The video is very well done. Is there, it's probably already there, but is there a way to get it, if it's not, on the county's public access channel? Will they run that for you? I see fishing and stuff like that. You would think they would want to see this up there too.
Yes, I did actually send that to them earlier this month. So I think they're in the process of putting that in rotation.
Do we have any virtual comment?
Not at this time, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you so much. So we're going to move on to action items. Motion to recommend adoption of the fiscal year 24 to 28 list of priority projects. So I'd like to invite Jason.
Step down on this item.
Okay.
Thank you. I'd like to invite
Madam
Jason.
Madam Chair. We do have a hand raised online. Apologies.
Okay.
So I believe it's likely for the same as Jim Knight. James, go ahead. Yep.
Yeah. Thank you. I need to recuse myself from action item 2A, which is what we're talking about, for the same reason I recuse myself from the vote last month, which is that my building, 413 West Point Beach Boulevard, is one of the projects that is affected by the Table 1, page 23, Boynton Beach Boulevard project. It's directly affected. I've been notified by FDOT that they're seeking to eminent domain perhaps some of my property. I'm not sure exactly how much, but that's the basis for my need to recuse myself from the discussion and vote on this action item. And just for the record, this is James Bonfiglio.
James, I will follow up with you after the meeting to send you the form that we'll need you to fill out.
Right. Well, I'll be glad to come by. I returned from my trip, July 10th, so I can come by the following week and drop
that
by.
Of course, as well. Okay. We can coordinate after the meeting. Thank you.
Yeah, so be glad to do that. Thank you. How do I get out of the discussion via Zoom? Let me shut my video feed.
Yeah, you can just mute yourself and turn off your video during this conversation. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, for the record, that we have Jim Knight and James Bonfiglio recused from this item. Sorry, Jason.
That's okay. All right. In just one moment, we'll have the presentation pull up. So this afternoon, I'm going to present to you the list of priority projects for fiscal year 24 through 28. This list of priority projects is an incremental part of developing the Transportation Improvement Program, the TIP, the five-year document that this is a part of. And the list of priority projects is integrated into our mission to collaboratively plan, prioritize, and fund the transportation system by way of the list of priority projects is the document that we utilize to prioritize projects and then provide to FDOT to then begin programming those projects. And so just to give a overview of the TIP development process, and that's the Transportation Improvement Program development process. The list of priority projects here is, as I said, a vital part in the beginning processes of first identifying all the projects that we would like to submit to DOT for consideration to be incorporated into the draft tentative work program. And that's FDOT's work program that will then integrate these projects when it's cost feasible, and then they'll provide that to us in their work program, and then we'll begin to develop the draft and final draft TIP. So this is we're in the beginning stages of developing the list of priority projects that'll be presented to you today. And to assign some dates to that overall development process, here in July, we'll bring this to our governing board and formally adopt a list of priority projects, which will be provided to FDOT. When FDOT receives that, they'll review it and then begin to integrate these projects and our request into their draft tentative work program. And we'll see that in late summer or fall of this year. And then by the end of the year, they'll provide us with a snapshot or draft tentative work program that'll have the projects listed, and we'll provide our analysis of that and present that to you in December. And then in the following new year, we'll start to develop the TIP, and you'll see that in the new year and those months to come. So today, what I'll present to you are the three priority project lists, categories or sections that we administer here at the TPA, and that's the state road modifications, local initiatives, and transportation alternatives. Two are an annual competitive grant, and the other one is also somewhat competitive that deals with the state road. But what I'm showing here is each of these programs have different amounts of funds. Those funds come from different places, and they fund different types of projects. And we're going to go over each one of these programs in greater detail, starting with the state road modifications that I'd like to invite Andrew Euler up, and he'll go over state road modifications, and I'll come back and I'll finish up with both the local initiatives and transportation alternatives.
Thank you, Jason. So yes, I'll go over state road modifications. And for this program, these are really, the purpose of this is to construct and enhance state roadways to advance our vision. The funding, as Jason has mentioned, for state roadways comes mostly from our state gas taxes and other state revenue sources. So it has to be spent on the state system. So that's why the state roadways are the eligible roadways. We're looking at around $20 million a year. It fluctuates year to year. It really, this program sort of also, the same funding goes towards strategic intermodal system projects, and it also goes towards a lot of the state roadway operations and maintenance, so that money can really fluctuate year to year. But on average, it's around $20 million a year that we're expecting. And historically, we've had a lot of road capacity projects, and we still have a few of those in our list of priority projects. For example, State Road 7, and then Atlantic Avenue is another one that's not fully funded yet that we have as a roadway capacity project. But we're also seeing a lot of other projects that we're trying to push forward with our vision with safe, complete streets, transit, signal technology, and possibly resiliency as well. Typically, these projects, a lot of these new funding amounts are going to come out in the outer year, the new fifth year of the program. So the upcoming TIP is going to be to fiscal year 27. So a lot of the priorities that we're about to show you, that money most likely will slot into fiscal year 2028. That's where the money will be available. So I'm just going to go through the priority requests, not ones that are already all the way funded. These are just for the ones that have still money to be remaining to be funded to be fully programmed. The first is the Atlantic Avenue widening, and this is from Lyons Road to Jog Road. There's a western portion of this project from State Road 7 to Lyons that's already totally programmed and funded in our transportation improvement program, and that should be going to construction in a few years here. For this section, though, we're still looking to, if we can, advance the right of way a little bit and then fully fund construction. So there's a large amount of construction funding that's still not yet programmed, and that's the main priority to get funded. Next is US 1 enhanced transit and multimodal corridor facilities. So a couple of years ago, the TPA had a corridor study the entire length of US 1 throughout Palm Beach County. And with that came a lot of different segments with projects that were identified throughout the different municipalities. A few of them already moving forward. Ones that we have for priority right here to get funded that haven't been programmed yet include construction funding for a lane repurposing project in Boca Raton, construction funding for a complete streets reconstruction project in West Palm Beach, and then design funding for a lane repurposing project in Lake Worth Beach, pending FDOT approval of that, that lane repurposing study. Next is Okeechobee Boulevard, enhanced transit and multimodal corridors facilities. So we're currently, you may have already been involved a little bit with our Okeechobee Boulevard study. And depending on how that plays out in the coming months here, we're going to come back to you all. I believe we have it scheduled for October to go to all the committees and to the board with the final results of that study and what the recommendation is that will be adopted by the governing board. And with that recommendation will be a next step in the process, which is really a feasibility study by FDOT to administer it, just to see if whatever that design concept is, that greater concept would work and it is feasible. So there's still lots of pathways forward for that before we actually have an implementation of projects, but that'd be the next part of the plan. And then also on Okeechobee Boulevard, there's already design funding in there for enhanced transit shelters. And so we're looking to have construction funding for those shelters. And the next is Lake Worth Road. This is also one of those major corridors for enhanced transit, multimodal facilities. We haven't done a full study of this corridor yet. One of the priorities we do have on it already though with PalmTran is transit signal prioritization, just like we have for Okeechobee Boulevard and for US 1. So this is having smart traffic controls at the intersections and provides signal prioritization for transit, also used for emergency services. So that's one of the ones that we're looking to get for Lake Worth Road as well. And then later on down the road, the other corridors in the county. And the last one I wanted to mention for you for state road modifications, there's a whole list of other ones that are still unfunded at the bottom of the list when it comes to intersection and projects. And one of them is Federal Highway at Spanish River Boulevard down in Boca Raton. This is one we're requesting construction funding for this project. But you also see a whole bunch of other Palm Beach County signals and Boca Raton signals who are two main operating agencies for signals in the county, both looking to upgrade their systems for the traffic signals, and then also the hardening of that for storms. So you'll see a lot of projects at the end there that are still looking for funding. I'm just mentioning one of them here as one of the higher priority ones. That's all I have for state roads. I'll turn it back over to Jason.
Thank you, Andrew. So we'll conclude by going over our annual competitive grant programs, the first being local initiatives. This program offers about $22 million a year in federal funds. And when you apply for a project, you can access about $5 million per project with a minimum of about $250 per project. And the timeline for implementation is you're expected to complete design in year three, and then you'll receive the construction funding in year five. And so the types of projects and the location are federal aid eligible roadway network is a designated network by FHWA that covers throughout, that is throughout the county. And those roadways are the ones eligible for these particular funds. And the types of projects are typically complete streets, transit capital, like new rolling stock for SFRTA, Tri-Rail, or electric buses for PalmTran, and non-motorized infrastructure. We see a lot of bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure as in these grants, as well as freight efficiencies as well. And through in the list of priority projects, we have two requests of FDOT as part of the local initiatives grant. And the first is updating our programming funding that the TPA uses for planning and administration and updating the funding so it's consistent with our UPWPR that was recently adopted. And that's the fiscal year 23 through 24 UPWP. That's our operating document that is listed under our local initiatives because it uses the types of funds that are within the local initiatives or SU funds is what we use for both our planning funds and this local initiatives grant. So, and the next item is a request to fund the construction of the 7 projects that were submitted this year for in this past cycle for the 2022 local initiatives grant application cycle. And now I'll go over those 7 projects that were submitted that we're requesting funding for that were successfully vetted and were deemed eligible for funding. The first being a 10-foot shared use pathway and missing sidewalks on Southwest 18th Street in Boca Raton. The second one being new passenger rail cars, new rolling stock for SFRTA, followed by a 5-foot designated bike lane and an 8-foot sidewalk on Gardens Parkway for Palm Beach Gardens in an effort to better connect their mall along Gardens Parkway. Next is the purchase of 4 electric vehicles. This is Palm Trans effort to convert their current bus fleet to an electric bus fleet, and they've successfully requested funds for 4 new electric buses. Following that is a 10-foot shared use pathway and new sidewalks on Barwick Road for Delray Beach. And then Palm Tran again, they're seeking funding to do bus stop improvements throughout Palm Beach County on some of their tier 1, their more highly used bus stops. They're looking to improve those bus stops throughout the county. And the last one for local initiatives is Indian Trail Improvement District. They're seeking funding to install Seminole speed tables on some of their main roadways out in Indian Trail Improvement District, and that's Temple Boulevard, Hall Boulevard, and 140th Avenue. Now, the last program is the smaller of the 3. It's transportation alternatives, but it is equally as meaningful as it provides about $3.3 million in federal funds for projects, and you can receive about $1 million in funds for as a maximum per project and a minimum of 250. And there's a shorter timeline here of 3 years where you would complete the design in year 1 and receive the design and receive the construction funds in year 3. And this particular funding is the most flexible in that you can use it on the federal aid eligible roadway network, similar to LI, but you can also use it on local roadways, which makes this a great opportunity to implement non-motorized infrastructure on local roadways, such as complete streets and bike and pedestrian infrastructure, traffic calming, historic preservation, and safe routes to school. Now, this year, we're simply asking for making a request to FDOT to fund the 4 projects that were successfully vetted and deemed eligible in the previous transportation alternative application cycle. I want to just quickly review these 4 projects that were successfully submitted and vetted. The first being, again, Indian Trail Improvement District with a 10-foot shared use pathway and expanding their existing sidewalk along select roadways to an 8-foot sidewalk, and that's Hamlin Boulevard, Grapeview Boulevard, and Citrus Grove Boulevard. Following that is Fairchild Avenue in Palm Beach Gardens. Palm Beach Garden is seeking to install buffered bike lanes and an 8-foot pathway on the south side of the roadway along Fairchild Avenue, not too far from Gardens Parkway, in an attempt to just make better connections closer to their mall. And the last 2 here, Royal Palm Beach is seeking funding for pedestrian and bicycle network wayfinding throughout Royal Palm Beach to make it easier to kind of navigate finding their parks and other resources that they have in Royal Palm Beach. And lastly, West Palm Beach, they're looking to improve 49th Street with ADA curb ramps, sidewalks, traffic calming, and bicycle share rails along that roadway. And so you can get more information on the full document, which is the list of priority projects. You can find that at palmbeachtpa.org/priorities. That'll give you the access to the entire document. We'll give you all of the projects within these 3 programs that we've discussed today. And then if you want more information, if you're interested in learning more about one of the grant programs, be it state road modifications, local initiatives, or transportation alternatives, you can find more information there at palmbeachtpa.org/funding. And with that, I'm seeking a motion to recommend adoption for the list of priority projects, and I'll take any questions at this time.
Sure. Does anybody have questions for Jason at this time? No. Any virtual comments?
There are no public comments, nor are there participants raising their hand.
James.
Jason, thanks for the information. Appreciate it. And this isn't really an objection to anything, just a question. I'm noticing there's a couple of SFRTA projects, one under State Road Modifications, Project 4170317, which is the Tri-Rail to West Palm Beach to Jupiter expansion with 5 additional stations, as well under Local Initiatives, Project 4297671, which is a Tri-Rail Northern Layover Facility. I know we've been talking a lot over my time here about expanding Tri-Rail North and how that works, Coastal Link versus an expansion of Tri-Rail. And I just, for my benefit, and I'm hopefully not the only one here that thinks this, but I would love to hear more information from SFRTA on exactly what the status of all this is as far as that Northern expansion. We're talking a lot about it. We've heard a bunch of things in the media, but just some, this is what we're planning on doing. This is the timeline. These are the budgets. These are the milestones. This is what to expect would be greatly appreciated. So thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Does anybody have comments for Jason? I have a very quick clarification because I learned something new today. The local initiative program eligible criteria, I noticed that the application from Indian Trail is for traffic calming. Excuse me for not having enough knowledge on this, but I've never seen this type of applications come through before in the past 8 years. So I'm very curious if that's a new criteria, because this opened up a lot of opportunities for communities that has, cut through traffics or traffic calming issues, especially along a bike route or a local network. I'm just curious to know if that is a new opportunities.
Nope. You can always apply for different types of projects. LI is the most flexible. So you can see by the scoring. Today, I addressed a question from the TAC about the nature of the scoring, in that the scoring is up to 100, but you score fairly low for most of the projects because the scoring tries to encapsulate so many different types of projects that are eligible in LI that you don't really score very high, but there's so many different projects that you can apply for. And we removed the scoring barrier of having to score over 25 points to be eligible. So a lot of the times, if you were to apply for speed tables or traffic calming in a residential area, you would likely score under 25 and then not be eligible in the previous years. That's no longer the case now. We've removed that barrier of having to score 25 points or above, because different projects, we want to evaluate the projects based on their merit and the availability of funding. And so with these projects, there is enough funding to fund these projects and they are ranked accordingly. And so they will, the Seminole speed tables are the last ranked project. You can see the score is 11.6. And so there's 6 other projects looking for funding before we get to the speed tables or traffic calming, but there's enough funding to get there. So it's still fundable. So it's not something new. It's just something that probably didn't score well. So it never really became eligible because it didn't meet the scoring criteria. But now that that's no longer the case, it opens up that opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I'm thinking as a transportation engineer here, thinking of that if it's a neighborhood network, communities all over the county has the same issues, especially if you have, neighborhood bikeway network. That's traditionally, that's where you want people to bike anyway, instead of being on road or a parallel network to a larger estate routes. It just opens up so much opportunities that we can provide safety to the communities.
Now keep in mind, LI is only for the federal aid eligible network roadways.
Right.
And they happen to have a network of roadways out west that are FHA, they're that type of roadway. So they're eligible for these funds. We're typically on local roadways, like residential roadways, like you might be suggesting these funds wouldn't apply and you'd have to apply for TA, which is more competitive. But if you have federal aid eligible roadway network roadways that could use traffic calming, this could be the program.
Yeah. Ultimately, if there's a for a clarification for all the board members, it's basically if it's your community and you have a collector road that is eligible for, under this initiative, and also speed tables and traffic calming could be an element of it. Paula Ryan.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask a question about the purchase of seven vehicles for the city of West Palm Beach. West Palm 25th to Tri-Rail to State Road 80 to support north-south trolley service. It's 15-2. It's under the local initiatives program. I was just wondering if you had a route for that. You know, 25th Street to Tri-Rail to State Road 80. So that is it. How is that going to be running? Is that going to run Dixie Highway, or are you going to go out west of Australian or anything?
Andrew Euler, that's a very good question. West Palm Beach staff, I think they had some transition in staff and who's been coordinating this. It's been on our plan for quite some time. That's why you don't see the actual money programmed anymore. It's hanging out there because they haven't implemented it. They're reworking the routes now because they have other routes already in service, so which is two routes already. So if they're adding like this third route, they're trying to figure out what would be best and most efficient. So they still haven't decided on what that's going to look like. But we can provide an update when we do get that new route.
So, Madam Chair, I just have one more follow up.
Absolutely.
So, is by chance, I know that when this was originally being talked about, was there any coordination with the routes with PalmTran? Are they involved in any of these conversations to help supplement each other and support the work that each other is doing?
Unfortunately, I'm not familiar enough to know the original coordination. I think this is like a 2016 submittal or something like that. So before my time on that, with the PalmTran additional coordination, but we can get back to you on that too, about how that's.
Okay, great, thank you.
Thank you. One last question or one last request. Earlier, James had a request on SFRTA, maybe an opportunity for them to do a presentation over the layover yard and what's the status on that. Same request for me is I know that we're funding $5 million worth of purchase electric vehicle purchases for PalmTran. I love to see where they're at with their electrification plan, because I know that a few years ago they set a goal that maybe 50% of their fleet is going to be turned over to electric vehicle. But I know these electric vehicle don't have a range to them, so there has to be fast charging infrastructures coming out. And I know that FDOT just released their fast charge or their electrification expansion plan. So I'm really curious from a county perspective on how it's going to affect and how it's going to enhance transit within this area.
Yeah, with each electric bus that they ask for, they also ask for the charging station that they're going to put at Electronics Way. Like where their yard is. So for each bus they have, they ask for the supplemental infrastructure to charge the buses. But I don't know the operation plan in terms of, do they take them out of service at some period or do they run all day or how that works out? But they've been successful multiple years in a row in requesting electric buses. So we are facilitating that transition to 50% to meet that goal, because that is a performance goal of our own to see that happen. And so through this grant program, we are actively supporting that effort of them by providing these grant funds, and they apply for them and they rank well enough and they get funding. So the last couple of years, they've been successful at requesting funding and receiving funding for multiple electric buses each successive year. And so I think in the years to come, we'll start to see that transition more significantly actually on the road. At least they're getting the funding. They're just be, we're just, it's kind of a waiting game right now to purchase the buses when the funding becomes available. But they've been successful in the last several years.
Sure, absolutely. And I understand that Palm Trans route is, some of them are more than 150 miles per route. So again, I'm just curious to see if there's like fast charging infrastructure along the corridor, along the route that could supplement, not overnight charging, right? When the buses finish running, they go to Electronics Way. That's where the bus layover, or that's where they terminate. But I'm really interested to know what's their plan, especially in the ITC downtown, West Palm Beach, and other facilities that there is a layover where buses pulse. James.
Yeah. To add to that, I think that also too, we're seeing a lot of their bus shelter improvements. I know they've been doing some route optimization and all sorts of fun things over there at Palm Train that we're probably not aware of. So, you know, to add on to the request for an informational meeting on the Tri-Rail expansion, I would love to hear what Palm Train has to say about what they've been up to and how they're going to spend some of this money and their electrification, but not only that, their efficiencies and improvements system wide. So
I can attest that they are definitely pretty busy because I follow up with them on a lot of their projects, and they're in the mix. They're in the process of putting out some RFPs to upgrade a lot of their bus shelters. And so they're working diligently and getting some RFPs out, out there to respond to get some contractors out there to do the bus stops. And I think their fare interoperability is nearly complete. So at least there's an integrated system, and now it's just improving that system through electric buses, better bus stops. And they're moving in that direction. But,
okay, yeah. Perfect. I don't have any questions. I think we have exhausted our questions. Are there any questions on virtually?
Not at this time, Madam Chair.
Okay, perfect. So at this time, can we have a motion to adopt the fiscal year 24 to 28 list of priority projects so we can open the door for discussion?
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
All right. Hearing no further discussion, I have a motion by Paul Ryan and a second by Michael Fitzpatrick. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed? Aye. Thank you. All those opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Second item is a motion to recommend approval for fiscal year 23 strategic plan. Do we need to bring back Jim Knight or James?
Yes, TPA staff is grabbing Jim Knight, and I will help James Bonfiglio online.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so at this time, I invite Andrew to TPA Deputy Director of Program Development to present this item.
Good afternoon, everyone. So I'm going to go into the draft fiscal year 2023 to strategic plan. Really, this is sort of additional activities that we have that we adopt yearly to move forward with for the fiscal year. And this goes sort of like in line with our unified plan and work program that we just adopted, which covered a 2-year cycle. So we just adopted 23 to 24. So this is going to cover 2023, and they sort of build off of our UPWP, and they focus our attention a little more. And sometimes they're more above and beyond than what we just provide in our unified plan and work program. What you'll see in this one is a consolidation of some of the activities and actions. Some of our struck through because we completed them and they're just one-time things. What we're trying to do is really streamline it. So it's about 3 actions per goal. For you all today, it was mentioned earlier, we put out an annual report done by our PR staff. And it's for the last fiscal year for 2022. And so we'll have a little of the highlights of what we've done in the strategic plan as well. So going through the draft fiscal year 23 strategic plan, I'm going to go through each goal. And this has already been seen by the executive committee. This is made up of 5 members from our TPA governing board. They saw it at their last meeting on June 6th and provided their recommendations. And so it's being presented to you all, our other committees, and then it gets adopted by the governing board at our upcoming July meeting. So the first one is engage the public. And there's a lot of strike-throughs and underlines on this one, but really What we're doing here is sort of clarifying some of those outcomes and making it more specific based on the action. And I'll talk to that a little bit. So the first one, is sticking with comments. So direct comments from the public. The next one is more of a measure about how many followers we have on our social media accounts, and then how many impressions we receive monthly. So when they actually see our materials on our different media platforms. And then the next one is participants. So how many are actually participating in our events as opposed to actually commenting. And then next one is related to TPA related media stories. And then the last one is presentation. So it sort of covers the whole gamut of what you would measure for engaging the public. The first one I wanted to mention mostly is and that's how we're getting feedback from the public. We had an online comment map, and it's still live now, and we can receive comments through that, and the public can go on and provide comments about transportation issues or needs or things to improve out in the county. But we're also receiving public comments from other types of platforms. So this is why we changed the action to be collect public comments via online map, surveys, and other platforms to inform transportation planning efforts. So sort of the same thing, but it sort of expands that from just our comment map. The other ones are really more about sort of increase in numbers that we've already sort of surpassed. So more followers, more impressions, more TPA-related media stories, and more presentations. Next is plan the system, goal number two. And this one had a lot of items that were just sort of one and done requests. We had an update to our complete streets design guidelines that would be coming out pretty soon from our consultants who worked on that and our staff. We also had a report on the pandemic and COVID-19 and how that impacted travel patterns. That was published and online. And the other one, the first one that struck through for B, commenced multimodal corridor studies on transit plan corridors. This one, we had a target of two studies. We're really revising this based on the effort that was going on underway for the Oak Tree Boulevard study, which is pretty comprehensive. We're looking to do the other corridors that were throughout the county, all as sort of like a consolidated study. And it'll be wrapped up into sort of refining our mobility vision for the future. So action A. So that's why we sort of struck through a B there. Next is prioritize funding. Our first action was to create a state road modification scoring system, which we accomplished last year. But now we're trying to, we have a scoring system set up around safety, a lot of it, but now we're trying to get products on our lists. And so the products that you saw from Jason for local initiatives and transportation alternatives, a lot of times we're not really that competitive with the amount of products we're getting in. A lot of them do get funded. Sometimes all the products get funded, like in this round, we're expecting that. And so we're trying to find ways to get more products actually prioritized on that list from locals. And so this one is to identify and prioritize five safety products. And it's come from our high crash corridors that were identified in our Vision Zero Action Plan, and then also our pedestrian and bicycle network. And then the other one I wanted to mention on this screen is the new C. Participate in the creation of MPOAC legislative priorities and policy positions. So before we had an action to advocate for our adopted policy positions that we put together, and the staff would have a more active approach to that. It's a lot of staff resources to do that sort of advocacy and then also tracking of those sort of positions. There's already an avenue to do that through our unified statewide MPO level committee, the MPOAC. And so really what we're doing with that is we do have our sort of policies and positions that we're trying to push like locally here. And then we'll just integrate those when possible into the MPOAC's legislative priority and policy positions. And then they already have staff dedicated to sort of doing a little bit more advocacy, and they're already working with Tallahassee and a little bit the federal government. So that's sort of the avenue to sort of save our resources and time as staff and just push those at a more unified front. Next is implement projects. Only one change here. We had an action to support accelerated product delivery by partner agencies. And we've had this discussion for many years since I've been here about how can we push products forward more rapidly? Because you know, it's always about 5 years out, a lot of these programs, to get products in construction. And so how can we get them accelerated? But it's pretty tough to set up a mechanism to do that, working with the current like work program system with FDOT. So instead of that, what we're trying to push for is really assisting municipalities with product identification and grant application submittals. And we're targeting 4 submittals a year. Because another part of it that we have been hearing is, you know, from people not applying or having trouble putting together an application is maybe they don't have the staff resources to identify products. So helping them more on that, using our resources and working with them to get good application submittals to our programs, and then possibly also discretion and grants out there and other programs. 5 is collaborative partners. You just saw the mobility options video that was created by our staff, and they wanted more work, I guess. And they now are going to have how to ride mobility option videos. So 5 videos, probably shorter in length, but sort of a spinoff of what you just saw, with more detailed information about how to ride a specific mode of transportation. So looking forward to have our staff do that. And then another one that was recently added, it's a new one for this year, is conduct mobile tours of partner agencies to experience local transportation facilities and services. We've been hearing that they want to have more sort of engagement and, like, you know, seeing the county and different services that are provided. We've done these tours in the past, but haven't had it in our strategic plan. So going to the Port of Palm Beach, going to the airport, and maybe trying out other types of services, Brightline, Tri-Rail, Palm Tran. And so trying to have maybe 4 of those tours a year. And the last one, goal 6, is administer the agency. The first one is it's being changed here is B. And now we're going to move towards updating our board and committee onboarding resources for you all. We have a handbook. So we'll be updating that handbook, updating a video to just explain more about what the MPO does, what MPO does, and what the TPA does specifically here in Palm Beach County. And then also hosting a workshop annually to cover that same material. So sort of more of an onboarding so you all can be caught up along with our other committees and board members on what we can do. Other than that, for this last one, still pursuing distinguished workplace designations, looking for a new designation, and then also updating our quarterly financial summaries and comprehensive financial reports. So going for fiscal year 2022. That's all I have for you. Do you have any questions?
Okay. Thank you so much for your presentation, Paul Ryan.
Thank you. The second to the last slide, could you put that up back there for a second, please? What is pursued distinguished workplace designations? What exactly is that?
Sure. To create more of a sort of a good place to work, we've been pursuing designations that might, you know, foster better like staff culture, organizational culture. So ones we've done in the past were a silver star for bicycle friendly business that we pursued 2 years ago. And I think that's something that we have to renew in a few years here, but we have that designation. I think we're on the great places to work. Margie's gonna know off of the, what are they, Margie? Margie will help me out with these.
The bicycle designation one, and then the best place to work for commuters. But one of the ones that we would like to get for the new year would be like a great place to work designation, which you see a lot of other agencies have.
Great. And then the second question I had, could you please explain to me again the legislative agenda pursuit share policy, or what it is exactly that we're doing to help promote our wants and desires in Tallahassee?
Mm-hmm. We are part of the Metropolitan Plan Organization Advisory Council, which is our statewide 27 MPOs for the state all come together. Part of that is they do put out legislative policy positions that they push in Tallahassee before the start of the legislative cycle. In the past, we've taken those, and then we had all these other policies that we tried to intertwine here at the TPA, and then provided another blanket or another policy statement that we adopted here at the TPA. And it was really a lot of work to sort of track all that at once. So instead, we're just going to be making sure that we're working well with that MPOAC technical group who drafts those policies, and just have more of a communication and work more through that to make sure that our local policies are fed into that. And then we would come to the committees and board to adopt that and support that specific MPOAC position. That makes sense.
All right. Are there any virtual comments?
Not at this time, Madam Chair.
Okay. Are there any further discussion at this time? Seeing none, so if we can get a motion for approval of the fiscal year 23 strategic plan.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed, nay. Motion carries. Moving on to item C, motion to recommend ratification of fiscal year 21-22 Unified Planning Work Program, revision number 4 amendment. That is a long title. Matthew, please.
I considered the face mask just for the ventriloquist pronunciation there. To reiterate, our Unified Planning Work Program is our 2-year operating plan and budget. And it outlines our staff activities, consultant efforts, and the direct expenses to provide the services and support these meetings here and enact the decisions of the TPA governing board. And the time period that we're discussing at this moment is July 1st, 2020 through June 30th, 2022, last week. This UPWP tells what, who, when, and how much it's going to take to accomplish the efforts during that 2-year cycle. And as that cycle was closing on June 30th, 2022, we found we needed to make some adjustments to best use the funds that we have available to us. And I'll elaborate a little more clearly on this slide. We have some different flavors of funding, I would say. We have funds that come from the Federal Highway Administration, and there's two types. One identified as PL, one is SU, and then we have FTA or Federal Transit Administration funding, and those are from two different grants that occurred in this funding cycle. The one that's most critical here is that FHWA-SU, and to note in this amendment, those funds don't carry forward to our next budget cycle. So we use them or they go into another pool that we don't control any longer. So we need to take special effort to make sure we expend all of those that we can and in the best way that this governing board can control. And then in order to do that, a later term amendment was required to accomplish that effort. We basically redistributed some of those funds that occurred in the first year, 2021, spread them out throughout 2022 so we could expend them properly. That's really the nature of the effort that we accomplished, and what we're seeking today is a motion to recommend ratification of that effort, and then we'll take that to the board to again ratify that we've taken prudent action.
Okay. Are there any comments on this item? Are there any virtual comments, Amanda?
Not at this time, Madam Chair.
Great, thank you. If I can get a motion to recommend ratification of the fiscal year 21-22 UPWP revision number 4 amendment. Motion.
So moved.
Okay, Paula Ryan, can I have a second, please? Sammy and Ryan. Hearing no further discussion, I have a motion by Paula, a second by Sammy. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, nay. Okay, motion carries.
Thank you.
We don't have any information items at this time. And there's administrative items. Item 4A through 4E are only for information. There'll be no presentation unless we request. And I believe, Paula Ryan, you have a comment?
I have a question about the number, item D, the pedestrian bike quarterly fatal crash analysis. Is that information available and just not being presented? Or are we in an off quarter presentation?
That information is included in the agenda packet, but it
if you would like further discussion on it, staff is able to come up and present further.
Well, I was looking through it. I mean, I figured I could find it, but I thought it was a great sort of eye-opener for everybody who hears those numbers and highlights some of the corridors. So does that mean that our governing board isn't hearing about them either? They're just in the information. It's not in a presentation before the board.
Are you looking for like a heat map of the recent crashes?
When they first brought this forward, I don't know, it's been a couple of years now, right? And you were going to continue to track the crash data as part of our Vision Zero analysis. And you were bringing forward on a quarterly basis what the highlights of that information was. Sitting with my fellow board members, I saw the shock, and as well as, you know, the public having the opportunity to hear those numbers without necessarily digging throughout the agenda to find it. So I'm just curious as to how we're handling that and if we can bring it back for a presentation.
Sure. I actually, I have the sheriff crash data from January 1st of this year to July 4th. That was just released. I'm more than happy to share it with staff that could be redistributed.
Sure. And as you mentioned, I think when we first released them, we did do a presentation on them. And then we were just going to have them as sort of like backup items, you know, and then sort of annually talk more about them. But we can provide a presentation quarterly, a short one on that.
Well, I mean, I think it's like the canary in the coal mine kind of information. And sometimes until you hear it, you're not really thinking about how dangerous some of these intersections are in our city and in our county. And the leadership, I think, should hear about it as opposed to necessarily go looking for it and perhaps create some conversations about better ways of planning. Or, you know, new best practices or lights or whatever it is. But I enjoyed the conversation, and hopefully we'll get back to presentation of them.
If you guys don't mind, I'll give like a 30 seconds, very quick overview of the crash trends. And from beginning of year till now, we have one fatal within the last 30 days, three incapacitative injury, 15 non-incapacitated, 41 possible injury, and 181 no injury. And again, this is Palm Beach County data. I just shared the map with Amanda and Andrew itself. It's a two-page report from Palm Beach County Sheriff's Department. And it looks like a lot of the crashes are actually in North Lake within that area by Congress from the heat map. I think this data is available on Signal 4 itself, and they have a statewide dashboard that's open to everybody. And I'm more happy to share it with everyone here if you're interested.
And we're pulling this data from Signal 4. It's the most timely for us, and that's where we gather this, and then we take those crash reports and do the more summarized version. But we can provide that report or the presentation.
No, I mean, if you drive around this county and you look at some of these intersections where there's huge shopping, big boxes, restaurants or whatever, the ability to cross those streets and to get from to, you know, safety zones, you know, I think that that's something that going forward, this agency should be taking a very hard look at and creating safety zones or ways to address it. So I just wanted to make sure it's still on everybody's top of the priority. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you. All right. We do have James virtually.
Hi. I kind of agree with Commissioner Ryan that we need to look at some of the designing issues that may arise. But two things struck me about the reading through those reports. One was that just so much of it was just human error, negligence on part of either the pedestrian, bicyclist, or the driver. The other thing that I noticed, as you pointed out, was that there seemed to be a little bit of a concentration on the North Lake Boulevard corridor and the Congress corridor. Maybe we can do something to ask staff to look and see if there is something in the design that we can improve on or fix that would reduce the fatality. But it was just tragic reading through all those reports. That's my comment.
All right. Thank you so much. If there's no other comments at this
time. There are no further comments.
There is another comment?
There's none.
So as a reminder, we don't have any meetings in August. So enjoy the last of the summer vacation. So the next meeting is September 7th, 2022. At this time, our meeting is adjourned. Thank you so much.